You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning on this Tuesday, September 2nd, and as Hurricane Gustav has been downgraded to a tropical depression, many eyes now turning to St. Paul and the Republican convention, where there's been some developing stories about Sarah Palin, the Alaskan governor, who John McCain has named as his running mate. Her 17-year-old daughter, we've learned, is pregnant. And so the question is, should the candidates be judged on the actions of their children?
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm calling from Warren, New Jersey. We're Christian conservatives. I'm a stay-home mom. We have three daughters. I was happy to hear about the vice presidential candidate being a woman, but I'm offended at the Republican Party trying to pull the wool over our eyes when this woman can't even take care of her house. Her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant, not married. I thought they're Christian conservatives.
Lots of questions being triggered by these revelations. Tell us what you think. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email, mytake@thetakeaway.org. We want to hear from all of you. John?
So in the world of sports, there's records, there are dramatic comebacks, there are horrible losing streaks, there are incredible personalities, but there's also politics in sports. And, you know, as the baseball season comes to an end with it looking like the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs, which is history all by itself and politics all by itself, we decided to invite our pal Dave Zirin on the show. He's a sports columnist for The Nation and author of the new book, A People's History of Sports in the United States, 250 Years of Politics, Protest, People, and Play. Dave, welcome.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you back, and it's great to have you in the studio. First of all, you know, as we speak, the World Women's Chess Championship in Russia is taking place, and the Georgians have boycotted it. The idea that sports and politics don't have anything to do with each other, something we heard ad nauseum during the Olympics, is
right.
Actually absurd, and your book sort of sets that to rest.
Yeah, I mean, my book is meant to put a stake through the heart of this idea that's oft repeated, that sports and politics have nothing to do with each other. And during the Olympics, it just got ridiculous. I mean, you had Jacques Roche, the head of the International Olympic Committee, saying sports and politics do not even belong in the same sentence. And you had Mike Krzyzewski, the coach of USA Basketball, saying athletes have no obligation to be political. Meanwhile, they're all in Beijing for the Olympics, the most politicized and political Olympics probably since 1936 when they were in Hitler's Germany. So, I mean, I think these people are either allergic to irony. I mean, I'm not quite sure. It reminded me when John McCain said after the Russian invasion of Georgia, nations don't invade other nations in the 21st century. And it's like, does he have a comedy writer or are they serious?
Well, that's quite another question, and we may actually discover that at the St. Paul Convention, as far as the Republicans are concerned. But, you know, talking about sports, and, you know, let's get some examples from your book, first of all. You know, there's a great example of sports and politics from my lifetime, and I suspect maybe yours, when Cassius Clay, who became Muhammad Ali, decided that as heavyweight champion of the world, he was going to use his bully pulpit as a way of criticizing the war in Vietnam.
Every time that I enter the ring, in a way, I'm going to war. They say to me daily, you are a prize fighter. What's the difference? And I like to say to those critics of the press and to the others that there is one hell of a lot of difference in fighting in the ring and going to war in Vietnam. My intention is to box to win a clean fight. But in war, the intention is to kill, 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 and continue killing innocent people.
Sports as a platform to project a political outlook. Certainly Muhammad Ali isn't the only one to have done that.
No, not at all. And I think if you had a Mount Rushmore of political athletes, certainly you would have Muhammad Ali on it, people like Billie Jean King, the former football player Jim Brown, perhaps Tommy Smith and John Carlos from the 68 Olympics, Jackie Robinson.
Raised their hands in the fist, right?
Exactly, and we're about to hit the 40th anniversary of that seminal moment.
Let me interrupt you right there, Dave, because one thing, and I'm not even going to pretend to be biased, I think your book is brilliant, but one thing that you did that was really interesting was you took a look at the very beginning, the very founding of this country and what sports meant in the American Native American community, what it meant during slavery for the slaves and the relationship, the intersection of politics and the law and sports. And it has been such a critical component of the fabric of our society from the absolute beginning of beginning.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, if you look at U.S. history in three parts related to sports, it's actually a way of understanding U.S. history in a way that's really interesting. Because until the Civil War, sports in this country were seen as something sinful, as something illegal, as something that should be shunned. I mean, people thundered from the pulpits that sports had no place in American life. And then after the Civil War, after the consolidation of the country, you see a whole different attitude towards sports, that sports could be used to build up the American spirit.
Or to build it, or to tear it down. If you ask W.E. Du Bois, you quote him in the book as saying that sports were bad for slaves because it gave them a sense of happiness when they were not in a happy place.
Right, right.
Although that, you know, that's a really interesting issue you bring up, because there's also another scene in the book about when the Americans interned the Japanese during World War II. And the reminiscences of the baseball they played in those camps being a way of, like, getting them through this horrible experience of being interned. Describe that experience and how you found out about it.
Well, the first way I found out about it, interestingly enough, was there's a football player for the New Orleans Saints named Scott Fujita. And his father was actually born in the Gila River internment camp in Arizona. And he speaks about, like, how he opposes the war on terror and whatnot because of what happened to his father and his grandfather. And I spoke with Scott Fujita about it, and that what got me interested in the sporting culture of the camps themselves, of the internment camps. And it was fascinating how baseball was used as a way just to keep a semblance of community alive during those difficult and dark moments, which is actually very similar to the counterargument about slavery in this country in sports, which I talk about in the book. Because on the slave plantation, oftentimes sports was also used as a way, as a cover, for example, to retain African customs, or as a way to actually breed a sense of community in a very difficult circumstance. For example, when they would play dodgeball on slave plantations, people wouldn't be out because they didn't want games where people would actually have to be torn away from each other.
Wow. Well, you know, this book is great, and it really sort of sets the broad canvas of politics behind all of sports. But I want to talk a little bit about the baseball season coming to an end now. Tampa Bay, wow. The Chicago Cubs, wow. And the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs. Aw.
I'll say wow to that as someone who grew up in New York City as a Mets fan.
Mets are going to make the playoffs, it looks like.
No, yeah. I know, and it's fantastic. I mean, this baseball season has been, I think, one of the great untold sports stories of this year. I mean, we've been so covered up with it from the Olympics to the Brett Favre drama that we haven't looked closely at this season. And the Tampa Bay Devil Rays making the playoffs, and I think threatening to go deep into the playoffs, I think is the most significant underdog baseball story since 1969 in the New York Mets.
Well, it's going to be something great to watch, and we're going to have you back when the postseason gets started. Dave Zirin, sports
writer. Did you know that?
I'm jumping out of my skin.
Yeah, actually, you're going to have to just spend the night here. Put your sleeping bag in the corner there, Dave. Dave Zirin, sports writer, columnist for The Nation, author of the new book, A People's History of Sports in the United States, 250 Years of Politics, Protest, People, and Play. Dave, thanks for coming.
Oh, my privilege. Thanks so much.
And a book not to be missed.
No, it's great.
Not to be missed.
Fun on every page.